Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
I don't know why my grandchildren are not interested in the church and they're not involved in the things of God. It's because mom and dad back there did not teach, did not model, did not take the kids and introduce the kids to Christ and get them in the right kind of environment so they could grow up and love the Lord. That's what the Israelites did. And that's what's happening in our day and age today.
The truth is, these two words can unleash God's power in your life. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his encouraging message, An Unlikely Hero, where you'll learn the words that invite God to move mightily in your life. Stick around to find out more. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, there's a lot we can learn from observing God's creation. And sometimes the most profound lessons come from the most unlikely places. Dr. Young wants to help you build your home according to God's design with his devotional book, Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home. It'll bless you and help you apply biblical principles and lessons from nature to whatever stage you find yourself in your family and marriage. We'll send you a copy of Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, An Unlikely Hero.
God told Joshua to go and possess the land and to wipe out the Moabites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, all the Canaanites, wipe out all the ites in the land so God's people could go and become his peculiar people, holy, separate to him, because the purpose of Israel and God's blessing was they were to take the truth about God to all the rest of the world. And so Joshua went in the land, and they possessed the land partially. They left some of those ites scattered all over the land. To help us understand it, it would be like leaving ISIS. You follow me? These ites were like modern-day ISIS. They'd become animals. They had lost the sense in which they were created in the very image of God, and they had to be annihilated. But the Israelites left them scattered throughout the land. I'm sure they did business with them. They got to know them. They intermarried, and time goes by, and suddenly you read in the book of Judges, chapter number 2, a deadly little verse. There arose another generation. Joshua died, Caleb died, and all that generation died who knew what God had done in and through his people. And then that little phrase, there arose another generation that did not know the Lord or the things he had done for Israel. What happened? A later verse says, the spoilers that spoil them. Deadly phrase. They forgot to teach. When mom and dad in this generation does not teach the next generation the truth about God and Christ, the essentialness of his church, the body of Christ. All of a sudden, a generation comes up and we say, you know, I don't know what happened to our children. I don't know why my grandchildren are not interested in the church and they're not involved in the things of God. It's because mom and dad back there did not teach, did not model, did not take the kids and introduce the kids to Christ and get them in the right kind of environment so they could grow up and love the Lord. That's what the Israelites did. And that's what's happening in our day and age today. You want to read a little prophecy about the direction that the United States is headed in? Read the book of Judges. We're right there. We're right there. You see the pattern? First there's sin, then there's suffering, then there's repentance, then there's forgiveness. Sin, suffering, repentance, forgiveness, and that cycle goes over and over again until finally you look at a Canaanite and an Israelite, and the way they live, their morality is really no difference. No difference. What happened? They lost moral absolutes. They said everything in the area of morality is relative. It's relative to something else. Thou shalt not steal is a moral absolute. All times, all places, all situations, we are not to take that which we do not own. Thou shalt not steal. Now, if you add to that, thou shalt not steal unless you steal from the rich and give to the poor. Now, that is not an absolute statement. That is a statement that is relative. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's a moral absolute. But thou shalt not commit adultery unless it's two consenting adults. See, that makes it relative. And in our world today, in our America today, that's where we are. Those who shape the mind and the morality of America are primarily the talking heads on television, through Hollywood, through our colleges and universities, and there you have people who are basically morally relativistic. Well, it depends. Is it legal? Everybody's doing it. Well, it feels good. It must be okay. And therefore, you have a slow slide of our culture until we have caught up with the decadent lifestyles that we see spelled out in the book of Judges. The end of the book tells the whole story. The last verse. There was no king in the land. Nobody who laid down the law. Nobody who pronounced, this is the way we live. There was no king in the land, and therefore everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Isn't that it? In that everybody did what's right in their own eyes. I'll tell you something. Read history, the story of the world, and you can never find a nation of people that survived unless they had moral absolutes. You can't find one. It's never happened. Let me press that. You cannot find a family that survives unless in that family there are moral absolutes. Let me press it one more step. In any individual life, that life may survive, but it will not thrive, it will not know joy and meaning unless in that life there are operating moral absolutes. And when the moral foundation is shaken, you can be sure that destruction will come. In fact, there'll be no salvation. Because when you say repent, you repent of sin. And in sin, there is moral absolute. Unless we repent of sin and come to Christ, we'll never know salvation after this life. So we see when all the pegs of how you'd then live are pulled up in a life, in a family, in a world, we end up just like the book of Judges. There were six major judges. What's a judge? By the way, don't think of a courtroom. It's sort of a tribal chieftain. It's someone who came as with military might and tried to protect the Israelis, the Jews, from all of these ites who were totally exploiting them. And so we have six major judges, and as the Bible goes on in the story, you know, here's one judge, he's okay. Here's the next judge, he's fair. Here's the next judge, he's wicked. And here's the final judge, he is demonic. We see the slide downhill of those who would deliver God's people. The judge that I like is Gideon. His life didn't end it up where I would like to have, but Gideon teaches us something about how we live in a society that is broken, that has lost all sense of what is right, what is wrong, what is true, what is false, what is valid, what is invalid. Gideon helps us here. And I want you to look at the circumstances of Gideon. They're told there in the book of Judges, the sixth chapter. It says, "Now the angel Lord came and sat under what we would call the oak tree, which was in Ophrah, which belongs to the Joash of the Abizites, and while his son Gideon thrashed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites." What's the circumstance of Gideon? He's afraid. He's a coward. The Midianites have come, and they surrounded the valley that was there. And now in order to harvest wheat, and it was barley he was harvesting. By the way, barley bread was the bread that the poor would eat in that day and age. Barley, the cheapest bread that would be made, that would be grown. Today, barley is expensive because it's gluten-free, ladies and gentlemen. And so he was there hiding in a wine press, thrashing the wheat. And why was he underground? Because if he'd been thrashing the wheat on top of the ground, the cloud would have gone up and the Midianites would have seen him and know he was harvesting, they would have swept down and they would have taken all of his crops. They'd done this for 7 years. The Israelites were impoverished. Their animals had been taken away. All their food, all their harvest had been taken away year after year, and they were at the bottom of the barrel, and here is Gideon hiding there, thrashing the wheat, when suddenly he realizes a presence. There's someone else there. Verse 11, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the tree," and look at verse 12, "and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, Gideon, and said, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" Hello? Gideon must have thought, "The Lord is with me? Man, I can't even feed my family. I have to hide underground to thrash wheat. Everything has been taken away from us by the locusts called the Midianites for 7 years, and the Lord is with me." Gideon must have said, "You could have fooled me. I haven't seen any sign of the Lord." And then the angel says, "Thou mighty man of valor." A man of valor, he's hiding, he's a coward. And then he says to Gideon, "Gideon, I want you to go up, you mighty man." Gideon said, "I want you to go up and lead Israel into freedom and independence and throw off the yoke of the Midianites, these ites." You know what Gideon said? Gideon says, "I'm of the tribe of Manasseh, and my family is the most unimportant family in the tribe, and I'm the least talented, the dumbest one, the ill-equipped person in my whole family. My tribe is at the bottom. My family is at the bottom of the tribe that's at the bottom, and at the bottom of the bottom, there I am, and you want me to go and to liberate these people, to be the leader, to be the general?" And the angel says, "I think you got it right." And then we see a little phrase there. The Lord is with you. Ladies and gentlemen, when the Lord is with you and the Lord is with me, it doesn't matter what the agenda is, what the challenge is, in the hospital, vocationally, in life, whatever. If the Lord is with us, that's all we need. You can't ask for anything else. And now Gideon begins to be converted. He's changing now. He sees he's a part of an oppressed people. And Gideon says, you stick around. I want to give an offering to you. Gideon saw the need of worshiping. So he does an amazing thing. He goes and prepares a lavish meal. He must have gone back in the cave. He had a goat hidden back there the Midianites hadn't stolen. And he takes that goat, he kills it. He prepares delicious meat. Then he goes and gets some of that bread and he cooks it. And he has gravy and he prepares a meal, an offering he would give to this visiting angel. And the angel takes that offering and put it on top of a rock and whew, it is taken away. The worship is accepted. And now Gideon is ready to do business for God Almighty. Notice something. We say, Lord, everything I have is yours. Oh, how many? Oh, Lord, I know whatever I am, it all belongs to you. And then God says, okay, I want to take some of it. Oh, wait a minute now, Lord. I know it's all yours, but I haven't had a meal like this for my family in years and years. My children have never seen a meal like this. And God saw in this offering that he gave that Gideon was serious about his worship and serious about following the Lord in his commission to go and be the general and lead his people, God's people, out of bondage. And then he gives him an assignment, a little test raid. He said, I want you to go and tear down the altar of Baal that your daddy built. Hello? Joash, his daddy, had built an altar to Baal. That's how it has permeated paganism in all the society. And so he goes and takes some ox. He pulls down the altar to Baal. He pulled down all the totem poles, all the idolatrous places. And then the Lord said, now you build another altar. Build it on that rock. And he got 12 stones and he built an altar and he worshiped there. And then he says, I'm ready to go. And then Gideon sends out messengers with a ram's horn, woo, all over the land, telling them to come and build an army that he was ready to lead his people against the Midianites. The Midianites. And four tribes showed up, and they had an army of 32,000 Israelis ready to battle with the Midianites. But before they went out, Gideon says, Lord, you know, I know you're with me, but I want a little more assurance. So he put out two fleeces. By the way, this is not how you discover God's will. A lot of people, oh, I put out a fleece. And No. This is for that time and that place, not for you and not for me. But Gideon put out a fleece. It's wet on top, dry on the bottom today, and dry tomorrow, wet on. And he did, and it affirmed that he was called. And then we see the battle. Here we have 32,000 Jews who show up from four tribes. And they're in the valley of Jezreel. That's Armageddon. How many of you have ever been to Armageddon? Been to the valley there in Israel? Lift your hand. We've got some Israelite. Yeah. It's some kind of valley, isn't it? And they saw on the other side 135,000 Midianites. I can see them in their black tents, the Bedouins of that day. And over here, here is General Gideon with his 32,000 ready to do battle with these who had totally raped the country for over 7 years. And here he is with his army, concerned about what to do. But he goes and God says, go in the Midianite camp and just listen to what they're saying. So he goes in the camp And one of the Midianite soldiers had a dream, and he had awakened, and he was telling his buddy, he said, you know, I had a horrible dream. I dreamed that a barley cake came rolling down the mountain and just flattened all of our tents. Oh, really? His friend said, that means that that barley cake Gideon is going to defeat us. And so, sure enough, Gideon heard and interpreted that and says, I'm going to win the battle. So he gets his 32,000. General Gideon is there, ready to fight. The 135,000 Midianites. And the Lord says, Gideon, General Gideon. Yes, Lord. You have a problem in manpower. He says, I'm glad you noticed. He said, you have too many. Too many? Yeah, said, tell all of your troops, your 32,000, anybody who's afraid, they can go home. I don't know if I'd been part of that crowd, and I'm looking at 32,000, 135,000, you know, I'm a little afraid. So he ends up with 10,000. And now he's standing over there with his 10,000, and the Lord said, Captain Gideon, yes, you still have a manpower problem. Lord, I'm glad you noticed. I sure do. It's not getting any better. He said, you've got too many. Too many? He said, yeah. I said, take those 10,000 and you let them go and drink out of the river. And those who put their head down and drink like most people do, you put them in one group. And those who pull the water and lap like a dog lap with their head up, put them in another group, and sure enough, 9,700 go in one group, and 300 who lap like a dog laps go in the other group. And here is Gideon over there with the 9,700 saying, I don't need those who lap like a dog lapped in my army. And God says, Sergeant Gideon, that's your crew over there, the 300.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Matthew 5, 6. Have you ever heard of the rule of threes? This rule states that you can go without air for about 3 minutes, without water for about 3 days, and without food for about 33 days. If that is the case, most of us have never experienced true physical thirst or hunger. What Jesus is saying in this beatitude is that we need to be thirsty for righteousness and develop a passion for moral living. If we have that kind of passion, our lives will be filled because we will be full of God and full of Christ and full of the Holy Spirit. Life will definitely not be boring. There will be an excitement in your life and my life. There will be meaning in our lives, and we'll have His peace. What are you thirsty for? What are you hungry for?
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you. And we'd love to help you build a strong marriage and home by sending you Dr. Young's devotional book called Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home. God has a wonderful design for your home in which He wants to build your family and marriage. In his 90-day devotional book, Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home, Dr. Young draws on lessons from nature, God's Word, and personal experience to help you have the godly marriage God wants for you. And each daily devotional takes just 15 minutes, so even the busiest couple can find time for it. We're excited to send you a copy of Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as thanks for your gift to help keep The Winning Walk strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now and give and request your copy. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 414-11. Text WINNING to 414-11.
Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow and hear Dr. Young wrap up his message and share how nothing disqualifies you from having an impact when God is in the picture.